Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your mercies and your presence in the midst today. I pray for an increase in the same under covering of our fathers as we go into your word. That Lord, as we go into your word, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I duck under covering. I strip myself of every confidence and my own knowledge or ability to share your word. I put all of my confidence in your mercies. In the grace of the Lord Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit to bring a word in season. A word that as the word goes forth, Lord God, it will edify. It will bless us, Lord, that the word will go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, and also in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal work in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten to revelation knowledge as the word goes forth, and our emotions to further control by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As we go into your word, I seek grace to redeem none of the same things that are unnecessary. The Holy Spirit has set you at my right hand. Come and have your way. Come and help me to glorify Jesus in this ministration today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for the privilege to stand before God's people. I don't take it for granted. The title of my message today is The Watchman and the Return of the Lord to Zion. Let's say, God, The Watchman and the Return of the Lord to Zion. How many people know God, Lord Jesus Christ, is coming back to his church? How many people know? Let me see your hands. Yeah. He's coming back to his church, but he's coming back to where? Zion. The Bible says that when the Lord shall build up Zion, not Jerusalem or Israel, then he will appear in his glory. Praise the Lord. So the title of the message is that The Watchman and the Return of the Lord to Zion. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 52, verse 8 in the Amplified. Isaiah 52, verse 8 in the Amplified. You see, during the Watchman service, I'll keep on talking. Okay, are we there? Let's read and I will, in the Amplified Bible, please. He explains this better. You see, why I'm saying what I'm saying? We need to have an understanding of the times and the seasons and what Israel ought to do. But the understanding was not given to everyone, but to the sons of Issachar. Just like it was John the Baptist that knew that the Lord was coming, and God sent him to go and prepare the way. And everybody that was under his ministry were ready by the time he came. Let's see, what does he say? Hark! Let's say hark! Hark means it's a command to listen. Say, hark, your watchmen, lift up their voices together. They sing for what? Joy. For they shall what? See eye to eye. What? The return of the Lord to Zion. Why are they singing? They are beginning to see eye to eye. Eye. What are they seeing eye to eye? The return of the Lord to Zion. That means before this time, they were not seeing eye to eye. But there came a time in the purpose of God that the watchmen in Zion, not in Jerusalem or in Israel, they began to see the same thing. And when they started seeing the same thing, they began to what? Sing. So God says, hearken, you people. Listen. It's a command that God is giving us to listen to what they are saying and what they are. When the Bible talks about singing, it's talking about prophetic ministration. Why? Because they are seeing eye to eye. What are they seeing? Say four. Say four. For what? They shall see what the return of the Lord to Zion. The Lord is coming back to Zion. Are you following me? And we're in that. We've heard it a lot of times. But I dare say we're in this season. Why? Because you see a lot of watchmen that God has raised up. When you read about the word watchmen, speaking about, you know, if you read in the book of Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel, say, I've set you as a watchman upon the walls of Jerusalem. This is talking about fathers, the sons of Issachar. And for the ones that are watching and praying night and day, and they are not looking for anything else but the return of the Lord. That means if you are the right watchman, you'll be in Zion. Because they know from this group that it's coming to town. So that's why they are watching, I follow me, and they are singing for joy. Praise the Lord. So you see, during the watch night service, Pastor shared the scripture, Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. He said that the people that sat in darkness saw what? Great light. And those that sat in the shadow of death, light is what? Sprung up. Everybody say great light. Say great light. What is great light? Great light is a light of high intensity and what? Frequency. If you read that scripture of Matthew, it was when Jesus Christ, it wasn't when he was born that he was written. It was when he began to manifest his glory. So those that sat in darkness, they saw what? Great light. Because it begins to come and it's moving near to his church, the intensity of light and the frequency of light, I'm talking about revelation, begins to increase. Bible says that the path of the just is as a shining light, and it shines brighter and brighter unto what? The perfect day. Ezekiel chapter 10 verse 4, to show what I'm talking about. Bible says, when the Holy Spirit, the glory of God, he said he stood up from the cherub. He said he stood at the threshold of the temple of God. And he says that what? The temple was filled with his what? Glory. Let's read it. Then the glory of the Lord went up the cherub. And what? Stood over the threshold. The threshold is the entrance. Are you following me? Up to a house. Of the house. And the house was what? Filled what? With a cloud. And the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. The master said in the book of Matthew or so, or Luke. So when you see these things begin to happen, when he said, when you see the button of victory, when you see these things begin to happen, know that it has a very dust. That is the intensity and the frequency of light when it increases, because the master has left the cherub. And he's standing at the entrance, knocking at the door, wants to enter. So the what will happen? The temple will fill with his glory and the brightness of the same. Praise the Lord. So what I've mentioned, I said, what is great light? It's light of very high intensity and what? Frequency. Praise the Lord. That's very important for us to know. Now, why are these watchmen singing? I said it in passing. Because they can see this light of high intensity and high frequency, which shows that the master is at the door. Before it was far off, but now it's brighter and brighter, like we saw the Holy Spirit. He's standing at the door, so they can know that yes, he's about to enter. But notice it was the watchman that saw it. Just like the book of Matthew, it says that the 10 virgins slept off. But at midnight, the Bible says, a cry went out and said that the bridegroom is coming. And the instruction was, go ye out to meet him. So it was the watchmen that were watching and praying that saw him coming. How did they see him? They saw the brightness. Just like if the governor is coming here today, he would have sent people an entourage. They would have come to check everywhere. You would see siren, everything blowing, even though it may still be at the back. But once you start seeing those signs, are you following me? The siren, the lights and everything. You know, the guy is very, very near. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's what they see. They can see the Lord returning to Zion. That is, God is coming back in this decade. He is coming back in this what? Decade. Don't say where is the promise of his coming. You know why? The watchmen are seeing Israel. Pastor sent some things to us recently from Sidroth. I've got their names. Quite a number of men of God. And one man of God, I'm trying to remember now, Bishop Bill Harmon. They were saying, it's so clear. You know, it's like, not that I didn't believe. But when somebody else now tells you, you know, it makes you, you know, you say, so that means we are us, because they are beginning to see eye to eye. But notice it's the watchmen in Zion. Anywhere else, you cannot see eye to eye. We will see something else. We will not see something else in Jesus' name. So I put it as I was preparing. Lord, give me a word. I believe I will share it. I will explain, you know, what I mean. You see, it's a type of when Elisha was following Elijah. And Lord spoke to me. I believe. Oh, let me say, this thought came to me. You see, we have already crossed Jordan, which is the place of dying to self daily. We are no more in Gilgal. We are no more in Bethel. I follow me. We are also no more in Jericho. We have already crossed where? Jordan. Where is Jordan? A place where you die to self daily. Crucifixion of the flesh. We passed that place. But see, you could have gone through all those different places. But the most important thing is that, look, after you cross Jordan, what you see is very important. Because if you don't see the right thing, you won't get the right thing. That's why I told Elisha. Elijah asked, we are believing God for a double portion. Like a double glory of the Lord. The glory of power and the glory of wisdom. We have asked. Say you have asked that. Say you have asked that thing. Not that it's not possible. But he told Elijah, he said, if you see me when I'm cut up, and then you will have it. So it's not only enough for you to have left all to follow. Don't relax, so. It's not only to have left Gilgal, Bethel, I follow me, left the source of the prophets who didn't believe anything. No. It is the thing that we have to receive the glory. It's very important. Say, what seest thou? I'm coming to it, sir. What seest thou? We don't need to turn there. That's 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 10. We don't need to turn there. Elijah.
Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Put it in Amplified. Each time we go for good morning, Jesus, mommy will say, Pastor William say, he said you have to be 3A, triple A compliant. I was just praying. I saw it in the Bible. What was it in Amplified? When he was talking to Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, he said, moreover, let's go. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. I was talking to Jeremiah, saying, Jeremiah, say, Jeremiah, what do you see? Not your neighbor. Say, what do you see? It's important too. It's very important. And I said, I see what? A branch or shoot of an almond tree. The emblem of what? Say, alertness, activity, blossoming in late winter. If you are not awake, alert, and active, you will not see it. Next verse. Next verse. Then said the Lord to me, you have seen well. For I am alert and active, watching my word to perform it. Listen, listen. You see, it wasn't that all that Jeremiah could see was the word of the almond tree. Don't make that mistake. I used to think that was it. That, okay, God was showing only one thing. No! God was saying that, look, there is, if you said you have seen well, that means that if you saw something else, you didn't see well. That also means that God was showing me he could see more than the rod of the almond tree. You see, you will see what you love. If I stand there today, I say, what do you see? I can see my wife. If I see something else, there's a problem. Then I must see well. Do you get a plan to say? That's why the Bible says you must have those eyes. Those don't have peripheral vision. They are only focused on one thing. That's what they can see. I see this book of Solomon. He said something. He said, we're talking about the bride Christ. Solomon was talking to Shunammite one. We're talking about the bride of Christ. He said, my beloved, you have those eyes. That means you only have eyes for me. So you can be in the midst of everywhere. You must see only one thing. If you see something else, you need to pray for you. I follow me. So you want to be awake, alert, and active. Triple A compliance. Let's move on. Very important. So as I began to pray and pray, Lord, show me from the life of Elijah and his servants. Let's open to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. You see, as they open there in KJV, you see, what you see is a function of intensity and reflection of the light that is turned on the object that God wants you to see. You remember Elisha and his servant when they came out to go and get water. He said, Master, alas, this place is surrounded by. He was seeing the wrong thing. He said, open his eyes so we can see. So God is showing us something today and he wants us to see. And we need that what? Great light to see it. If this place is dark today, and God says, what do you see? I'm looking like this. I will not be able to see my wife, Baba. So, hold on, Jackie, fellow me. So, do you get what I'm trying to say? So, that is why we need the great light and great intensity and frequency. So, what does it say in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 14, which one, verses 41 to 44? And then I will explain. Let me first of all explain. You see, there are three people in this story. This is the story of Mount Carmel. I follow me when Elisha went, you know, and killed the prophet of Baal. But it's after that one. But you see, Elijah gave an announcement before anybody saw anything. That is how you know the true spiritual oversight. They have eyes to see, eagle's eyes to see afar off. My mommy came here on Wednesday and said, you're going to begin to have dreams. God, please, you in night vision. I hope I will be able to get there. Lord, please remind me. Let me first of all go here. So, after that period, there are three people there. I said there was Ahab, the servant, and Elijah. So let us read. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. So he sent Ahab. Will not be Ahab in Jesus' name. Next verse. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. Problem. That is the first company, outer court. He sent him away. And Elijah went what? Up toward the top of Mount Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Looked toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. That's what happens when you pray the 7 pillars of wisdom. This servant was under authority in submission. So he said, "Ah, Pastor, what you are sharing about the sons of Issachar, sons of, I don't understand. Go again." But the key that made the servant saw was the intercession of Elijah when he was praying with travail. My little dream of whom I travel in birth, until you see something. That is the key. If the servant had gone up without Elijah praying, he wouldn't see anything. So Ahab goes to go and eat. Elijah, true spiritual father, goes to the mountain to pray. And he tells his servant, don't worry. That was after he announced, he called that thing which was not as though it was, and it became. So the servant, oh yeah, go and watch. The guy came back like we always do. Pastor, I've been doing these things now. Pastor says, go back. Don't say I'm not doing it again. He will keep on doing it, but the seventh time, what happened? Next verse. And it came to pass at the what? Seventh time. Completion. A just man falleth seven times. But what? He will rise again. But if he does not arise again, he's not going to see. We are going to see in Jesus' name. Because the light that we see in this day is very important. So the seventh time, and then he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of where the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Heber, behalf thy chariot, get it down, that the rain stop thee not. And of course, by the time Elijah came down, he took a quantum leap and he overtook the chariot of Ahab and had gone ahead. Don't you get what I'm trying to say? Why? Because the plowman is destined to overtake the river. Hallelujah. So this year is a very, very critical year for us. And it's very, very important what we see. So it is the intercession with travail, Galatians 4:19, of Elijah on the mountaintop that enables the servant to see. If Elijah did not pray, the servant would not see anything. But thank God that we have Elijahs that God has raised up who are praying night and day. And if we continue and we don't give up, we are going to see something in this day. Praise the Lord. Very important. So I put it, say, what do you see? Say, what do you see? It's important to see the right thing. If all you can see in the midst of what is going on in the world is coronavirus, there is a problem. You see, when God says, what do you see? He's not trying to say, explain everything you can see. But he's trying to say, there is something that you must be seeing. That's why he said, what is taking, consuming your attention? I told Elijah, he said, Elijah said, if you see me, specific, when you enter the holiest of all, when God called John, he said, come up here. He said, I saw one on the throne. Not that we're not living in self-denial. We don't say there are rumors of wars, coronavirus, whatever. But see, don't focus on that. Because if you focus on that, that's what you prepare for. You start buying drugs and buying face masks, and then you not go to China. But if you see what God wants you to see, then your blessing is coming. Would you determine how you prepare? So let's read from the book of Luke, chapter 21. Verses 26 and 27. We'll see two things occurring in the end time. Are we there? Luke 21, verses 26 and 27. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Says, men's heart. Let's read. Our heart is not failing us now. Men's heart. Failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Next verse. And then, another company of people, shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with great power and great glory. So what do you see? It's important what we see. Are you following me? Very important what you see. Two things. Some people saw the things that are their fearful sights. I would say they were fearful. That means, what is the root cause of fear? But the perfect law casteth out fear. Are you following me? And the Bible says that love never fails. So those who as we are failing them were not perfecting the love of God. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 8 says the love never fails. So but the other they said they saw the Son of Man come in a cloud. That is what God wants us to see. Now let me put some definitions behind this. Who are the watchmen? The watchmen are talking about apostolic and prophetic ministries. Are you following me? Who have already entered that apostolic and prophetic ministries that are in cleansing perfection. Apostle has taught on. Are you following me? And they have under them a fully submitted followership. Those are the watchmen. Are you following me? The sons of Issachar, like I said. But also, when what is Zion? I mean, that's him as Zion. But let me explain with other things. In light of what I'm sharing, the watchmen and the return of the Lord to Zion. Because it's watchmen that saw him coming. And they began to sing for joy. And God made an announcement. Said, hearken, everybody that's under them. And following. So, who are these people? It's the same thing, just using different types and shadows to explain. The watchmen are those that have perfected the practice of watching and praying always. Are you following me? That's why I say they are watchmen, not children. The man-child company. There is the man and there is the child. It says, I and the children that God has given me are for signs and wonders. Bible says, for unto us a child is born. But unto us a son is given. It's not by natural battle. Unto us a child is born. That which is born of flesh is flesh. But unto us, the same us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's why it says that, my son, give me your heart. And let your eyes, your mind, observe my ways. It is those that give him his heart that become kings. As the heart of a king is the hand of the Lord. And it turns the widow as a wife. So if you have not given your heart, you can't turn your heart. That means you've not grown to become a king. For to us a child is born. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But to us a son is given. These are sons. Not, it doesn't mean it can't be natural, but what I'm saying. That have given their heart to the vision of the Father. That gives them. Like Pastor Kuni, we are sharing. That won't break in and lorry. That is, if the pastor is not here, mommy is not here, the vision will continue to run. But for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Let the entirely wait for it. So he shall surely come and he shall speak for himself. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? It consists of watchmen who have perfected the practice of watching and praying. And those that are under them, that are practicing, say practicing. Watching and praying always. I believe we're all practicing watching and praying always. Not like the type of going seven times. So you have the fathers that perfected watching and praying always. Now the sons that God has given them that are going to be for signs and wonders, they are practicing. Say practicing until they are perfect. So when they practice the four, God will pick them up. But there's a higher covering over them that covers them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Or put in other terms that we've been taught, the same message, the dream is one. Those who are perfected and those that are perfecting the love of God using the blood, the word, and the spirit. That's the difference. I and the children that God has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel. Now, why Zion? Psalm 132, verse 13. Why not Jerusalem? Why not any other place? Why do you know what Zion is now? Is that place, is this place of, but it's out of Zion, the perfection of beauty God has shined. Zion is a spiritual location. I follow of mature fathers who are in cleansing perfection and a fully submitted followership. You see, if you are told that servant, go and watch. And if he didn't want to go, he won't see anything. I've gone the first time, second time, third time, fourth time, seventh time. When he said go the seventh time, I said, I'm going to just wasting my time. So because he said go up, it wasn't easy for him to go up and then to come down. He would have left. So fully submitted, said fully submitted followership. So Psalm 132 verse 13. This is Zion. God had desired it. Say, for the Lord had what? Chosen Zion. He had desired it for his habitation. There's no question about it. If you stay in the upper room in Jerusalem, using types and shadows, you are not there. Next verse. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell. For I have what? Desired it. So God desires a company of people that are using the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the love of God. Next verse. Let's read. I will abundantly bless our provision. I will satisfy our poor in spirit. Understand me? With bread. Revelation under the word of God. Next verse, please. I will also clothe our priests with salvation, perfection, and our saints, two sets of people, shall shout for joy. The same shout, you see the watchmen. So the watchmen are going to start shouting, but the saints are also going to shout for joy because they are in Zion. Next verse. There will I also make the horn of David to what? God. I don't want to go there. I have ordained a lamp for my anointing. Next verse. His enemies will I clothe with shame. But upon himself shall his crown flourish. Next verse. I think that's all. Next verse. That's the last verse. Praise the Lord. So, what are we saying? God has chosen Zion. So you need to make sure you are in Zion. Under the right watchman. Very, very important. Why? Don't mind my pronunciation. So it's like, why? I have two important reasons. I said, why put it there? We can already see it. We deduce this from the story of Elijah and the servant. Where we are will determine what we see. Say, where we are will determine what we see. There is a separation going on today. Many don't know. You remember the story of Jacob? When he put the poplars before the animals. Those that were strong and ring streaks, they went to one side. Those that were separate and gave them to Laban. So you have two leaders in existence in the same field. Laban and what? Jacob. Now, what I want you to see is this today. Jacob served Laban for 20 years. That is, when he came to the end of the second decade, God must have given him a dream. You now understand it was that dream that transferred the wealth of Laban to Jacob. Follow me. Go and read your Bible. He served for the first daughter 7 years, Leah. Another 7 years for Rachel. Then Laban said, don't go. I can see the hand of the Lord upon you. Serve me. Then he served for another 6 years, making 20. Thereby, in this year, you have a 2020 vision for the decade. Before this decade ends, there will be a transfer of wealth to the knowledge of witty inventions, the ability of the mind of Christ. That's what we're talking about. He said something. Like what said, they've set up, forgive me, that people that have ideas, that God will speak to you in the night season. Go and read the story. Jacob had a dream in the night season. When he had a dream in the night season, he said, when he was going, he didn't say anything. He said, after I was going, I told his wife, I said, look, I've served so and so for this 20 years. For these 20 years, I've served you. You have changed my wages 10 times, blah, 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 blah. He said, if it was not the God of my father that made me see him, that dream of the Pope that God gave him in the night season. But see, I want to point out something we need to see. There is a difference between Joseph and Jacob. God gave both of them dreams. But Joseph told his dream to the wrong people. And it cost him some time. Unnecessary time in Egypt. But Jacob, when he had his own dream, he didn't even tell his wives. Go and read the story. It was after the dream was in operation and manifestation and they were going, that he told them what he saw. Be careful you tell your dreams. Joseph told his dreams to two people, his brother, his father, and his mother. So there's nothing wrong telling your dream to your father and your mother, but don't tell your brethren that are not mature. Do you come to see? When he told his father and his mother, they kept quiet. They were not envious of him. Because the joy of every good father is to see his children go beyond him. They must have been planning how to help him execute the dream. To understand the word that came on the last day of the fast. God is going to speak to you in the night seasons. And the Lord God that teaches you to profit and lead you in the way that you should go. But are you going to be a Jacob? Or going to be a Joseph? And tell it to the wrong people. Don't need to go to Potiphar's house. There's no time to go to Potiphar's house. Let's keep reading. So, where we are, we determine what we see. Where we are, we determine what we see. What do I mean by that? That is, we are talking about the covering. Either if you're under the covering of Saul, or under the covering of David. Now, let me read some scriptures. That's what I'm saying. I put it in my notes. Saul told hard watchmen. We're talking about watchmen today. Are you following me? So don't forget that thought. Saul is a type of the leadership who through rebellion and stubbornness have led God's people from the mountain to the hill. I repeat. Saul is a type of the church leadership as it's existing today that has taken God's people from the mountain. They're supposed to go to Mount Zion to the hill. When you read your Bible, you see the Bible will say in Saul of Gibeah. Go and check the meaning of Gibeah. Gibeah means hill. Open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6. And when you are on the hill, you will not see what you are supposed to see. Until you go to the mountain top, Mount Zion. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6. On the hill, all you see is confusion and fear. But where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every work. They don't perfect love of God on the hill. It's on the mountaintop. That Pastor Colin was sharing to us. That was why when Lot refused to go to the mountaintop, he committed incest with his children. The flesh took over. Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 6. My people have been what? Lost sheep. Their shepherds saw. I've caused them to go astray. How? They have turned them away. Say perfection is not possible. It's not possible to perfect love of God in your life. So they turned them away from where? The mountain. And they have gone from mountain to hill. And they have forgotten their resting place. There's no resting place in the hill. It's on the mountain top. But let's look more closely at this. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 16. Let's first of all read in KJV. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 16. Are we there? Talking about the watchman of Saul. And the watchman of Saul, in where? Gibeah of Benjamin. I went to check. The word Gibeah means hill. Looked and behold, by revelation, the multitude met the way, and they went on beating down one another. The Bible says, if you bite and devour one another, beware that you do not consume one another. Put in the Message Bible. That is watchman of Saul. If you're not under the right watchman, you're going to see the wrong thing. You will see confusion, Babylon. You will not see the Lord coming. All you see is Ebola. You see Corona. You see maybe the way. You know things that don't concern you. You are not focused. We are focused in Jesus' name. There's a Saul sentries. Watchmen. Posted back at Gibeah or Gibeah. Always remember, if you check your Bible, or you have a Bible that explains meanings, Gibeah means hill. In Benjamin, saw what? The confusion and the turmoil and the raging in the camp. I was talking about the raging of waves of sin. We're not in Serbia now. We know it is there. Well, I'm like those people. We are like those that they saw the Lord coming in the clouds. Those are the watchmen of Saul. All they see is confusion. All they see is, why do they see confusion? Because when there's envy and strife, they're not perfect enough. God, there's confusion. And that's what you see in the body of Christ today. Evil work. Stories of different things. Verse 14. Say, thank God I'm under the right watchman. So I said it. So I'm explaining what it means. I said, where you are will determine what you see. Are you following me? 1 Samuel 18, verse 20. And David sat between two gates of grace and mercy. And the watchman went up toward the roof upon the gate onto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, a man running alone. Next verse. And the watchman cried at midnight and told the king. And the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And when Cushite ran. The Bible says, if the trumpet shall give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare for war? Compare what those watchmen saw and what the guy said. If he be alone, there is a time, like Jacob, that we all have to be alone with God. To overcome these infirmities and cross Jabbok. Praise the Lord. So we can see the watchmen of Saul and the watchmen of David. Praise the Lord. The second point I have is this. What we see is determined by the intensity and the frequency of light that comes to our hearts. Put the frequent use of the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect God's love. You see, they've announced that this is a year of quantum leaps in which God will release great light into the church. And that great light will determine what you see. So when you now see clearly by revelation now, not physical light, you can leap over the forbidding gap, right or wrong. Now, that light cannot work if it does not enter your heart. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, say, for God has shined the light, that shined light out of, I commanded that you shine of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of a knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So if you don't have receptive hearts to receive the light of what you are hearing, or why the voices of the watchmen, it will hinder what you see. So if God is saying, what do you see? Are you following me? He wants you to see the coming of the Lord that the watchmen are seeing, that is making them sing. So not only them that are singing, you too also begin to sing, because why? You can see the same thing. So it is, but it hinges on your love walk, which we are going to see. I says that it is the second person, What we see is determined by the intensity and the frequency of light that comes to our hearts through the frequencies of the blood, word, and spirit to perfect God's love. It is with the increase in the intensity and frequency of light that we can take a quantum leap over the forbidding gap into the conduction band. So, brethren, it's a done deal, but it's not a done deal, because it's dependent on your heart and my heart. We must not have constricted wounds. Our powers must be open. 1 John chapter 2 verse 8 to explain in let me read in Amplified to save time. 1 John chapter 2 verse 8. 1 John 2 verse 8. What does it say? You know, Apostle John was writing. He said, "Yet I am writing you a new commandment, which is true, is realized in him and in you, because the darkness, the moral blindness is clearing away. And the word, the true light, the great light, the revelation of God in Christ is already shining." Next verse. Whoever says he's in the light and yet hates his brother, Christian, born again, child of God, or even hates his wife or the watchman over him. Are you following me? Born again, brother, child of God. He's in what? Darkness, even until now. Next verse. Whoever loves his brother, believes, abides, lives in the light, and in it or in him, there is no occasion for stumbling or cause for error or sin. It's blameless. That pastor we were sharing. Next verse, what does it say? I think we have one more verse to go. Help me, Holy Spirit. 11, the last verse. It says, "But he who hates, detests, despises," what is it with your heart? "His brother in Christ." Say brother in Christ. "Is in darkness, walking, living in the dark, is straying and does not perceive or know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." So it's not that light is not shining, but it's not walking in love. So that love, you know what it does? It puts a veil so a light can shine. So you see, our destiny is to go from the holy place to the most holy place. So the forbidding gap is the veil that separates us. Because in the holiest of all, there's only one thing there, one furniture. The ark, the glory of God we are believing God for. So if you are in the holy place, and you're not perfecting love of God, the light of the candlestick, it will not be enough to take you across. Until you now go to the altar of incense, and you begin to pray and travel. So at that forbidding gap, the veil is rent. When it's done, you enter into the glory, the Shekinah glory of God. Are you following me? I use different types of shadows to explain the same thing. Very simple. So in closing, how do we enjoy this thing? Prophet, I've given the example of Elisha and Elijah. Are you following me? I've given Elijah and the servant and Ahab. So it's obvious that obedience and submission to the watchmen in Zion is not an option. You see, it's not because you are a scripture pastor, are you following me, that you will see anything. That is why there was a man that was not with Jesus Christ and was casting out devils. He was with them and yet not with them. Bible says, "Obey and submit with them that have the rule over you. For they watch." That's why they are watchmen. There are some brethren like Saul in the body today. They are not watching for your soul. They are watching for what they can get from you. Covetous pastor. So it's obvious that submission is not an option. It's not something I begin to debate. The servant had no choice than to obey what Elijah said. Said, "Go to them, go and see. Go up." You have two options anyway. Either you go back like you have to go and eat, or you be that servant and go and see. But you know, Elijah saw first. That's why they gave the announcement. "I can hear the sound of the abundance of rain." Ahab saw nothing. It took 7 times for the servant to see it. That is why when Elijah ran, based on what he saw, he overtook Ahab's chariots. Praise the Lord. So how do we enjoy this thing? One, Say submission to those in authority over us with the right attitude of honesty and humility. Humility. What does those two things do? Honesty and submission. It attracts the mercy and the grace of God. But see, there's a key. Say sufficient. Say sufficient. I believe we are all under authority. But the key now is sufficient mercy and grace, which is determined by how much you obey and you submit. We all have mercy. We are, if you're not born again, you can't have grace. You got born again by grace. But God wants that thing to increase. See, because the attitude of humility and honesty opens your heart to the light of what the watchmen are seeing and are singing. Very important. Sufficient. Say, my grace is sufficient for you. Second thing, daily praying the Pauline prayer. Say, daily praying the Pauline prayer. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Say, Father, please give me the spirit of wisdom. That's the part of obedience or submission. Spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge. So the eyes of understanding flooded with light. I may know better. The hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, the executor of the original power, towards you believe, according to the work in mighty power, which you watch in Christ Jesus when you raised it from there. Everything is inside the pastor's book, perfecting the love of God. They've so much, they've done it that if you're so user friendly, that if you just wake up every morning and do it, you have no problem. Even if you have a problem with submission, if you take the first confession that says, I judge myself, say, I'm strong, says, I set my will. I determined to submit. Even if your flesh does not want to submit, and you put the force of faith into action, God, by Spirit, that works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. But when you don't do it, you find submission and obedience very difficult. So you do it every morning. Every morning, I judge myself. But I receive, I can't remember now, He says that I set my will. And I mean, Jesus had to set his will to submit to the Father. So who are you? If the master had Gethsemane, you are going to get to times in your walk with God that you're going to get to Gethsemane. And God will keep quiet and watch what will do if you are on the way to be a son. So your prayer is not to be delivered like Paul was praying. It's to pray and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. When you do that, then you can move to the next stage. Then you're no more afraid of the cross. Why? Because you can see the joy that is set before you, not the cross. So you endure the cross. You despise the shame. So if the master will submit to the Father, who are we not to submit? Third point. Watching and praying always. Say, watching and praying always. You don't have to be perfect. I said it earlier on. But be practicing. Say, be practicing. Yes. Watching and praying always, using the blood, the word, and the spirit to wash feet. At least 6 times daily. At every opportunity and every temptation. Luke chapter 21 verse 36. We're going to stop now. Luke 21 verse 36. The master was talking about the end time. Say, watch ye therefore and pray sometimes. When you're under pressure. When you don't have money. Say, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. What will make you escape is the glory, the affliction that is coming to the church that shall come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man. I have done all to stand. Stand therefore, put on the whole armor of God, which is armor of love. You see also that in 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 13, we don't need to turn there. When we are bringing back the ark from house of Obedidium, it's after 6 pieces, they sacrificed. They sacrificed just 2 things. They sacrificed oxen, say oxen, and fatlings. Fatlings there speaks about the life of God, oil, the anointing. I say, just my half life. Oxen speaks about apostolic instruction. Paul talks about what says that thou shalt not muzzle ox. So he's talking about the sacrifice, that is the practice. Apostolic instruction of washing of feet by the life of God. They sacrifice oxen and fatlings. You are looking at me like I'm talking from my head. Open it there. I'm talking. 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 13. 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 13. 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 13. They sacrifice oxen. Say, they sacrifice oxen and they sacrifice fatlings. Second. And it was so. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, What he was? Sacrifice what? Say oxen. What's oxen? Apostolic instruction of how to perfect love of God. And fatling, the true life. Those are the two things you need. So when you sacrifice oxen, you share the blood. Father, I confess our sins. In Jesus' name, we have life. Can see there. It's all hidden. So, in conclusion, not waste time. How do we do this? We do this practically by praying with your thoughts and acknowledging God. And acknowledging God with thanksgiving. And praying with your words and tongues. Are you following me? To wash the feet of yourself and of other people. That is what we mean when you are washing feet. That is, like Pastor shared also, and if you are listening to these messages, parts, joints, and bands, if you practice those things, you don't have time for nonsense. Bible pastor said, he said, what is a joint? He said, it's where two parts meet at the thought level. So say, if you are praying and the thought of a brother is that comes to you, you ask for mercy. You supply blood and life. If you are doing that every day, brethren, you're not going to have time for social media. Don't thoughts come to your mind? You remember something somebody did when you are praying, or you look around and see something. Remember, says in First John 5, says when you see, if a man sees brother sin, a sin not unto death, he shall ask for life. If brethren are sinning every day in the body of Christ, so where will he have time for nonsense? That's how I know I'm not doing as I ought to. Sometimes I would have left. God will not remember. Why did you pray for that brother? You criticize, Lord. Joints metal. So it's where a joint is where two parts, where a part of Buddha, they meet at the thought level. So in closing, I read the scripture. Luke chapter 12, verse 40. Because the Bible says we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. How do you do that? Mercy. Say mercy. The Bible says that I will have mercy upon their sins and their iniquities I'll remember no more. So when a thought comes to you, because thoughts are so fast, and that's the fastest way you can deal with problems. Are you following me? So just say, Lord, in your thought, have mercy on us, on yourself, and the person you see. So you are not lifted up with pride. Why is this very important? Let's read together. Be ye therefore ready also. For the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you, where do you think? Your thoughts. For the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think. So make sure, as a joint, that you are supplying mercy. The blood and life, passe. If your brother says, example, just ask. In your advice, just say, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. I don't have time to go to bands. Bands is when we gather to pray in the spirit. So let's bow down our heads to pray. That's the end of the message. Let's talk to God. The watchmen and the return of the Lord to Zion. Sing that song that we sang in worship. We need to hunger and thirst for him. Because the light of what you see will determine how prepared you are. Let's stand to our feet. Father of lights, draw me closer. Let's sing it together in faith.
Draw me closer.
Lord, my eyes.
Lord, my heart is set on you.
Let me run the race of time with your life enfolding mine, and let the peace of God let it reign.
Oh Holy Spirit,
oh Holy Spirit, you're my comfort.
Let's sing in faith to the Lord.
Strengthen me, hold my
hands to the Lord. Yes, let's.
Lord,
are you hungry? Lift up your hands to the Lord. He hunger for you, Lord.
Rise up within me. Let me know your truth.
Oh,
yeah. and it rained.
Let's keep our hands low and put one hand on our hearts as an act of submission. My son, give me your heart. Let your eyes observe my ways. See? Lord, please have mercy on us. As we pray now, we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the importance of staying under the right leadership, obeying and submitting to them with the right attitude of honesty and humility. And secondly, to practice more diligently with greater frequency, using the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect love of God. As I watch and pray always by washing of feet at least 6 times daily at every opportunity and every temptation, so that I can receive light of great intensity and frequency to leap over the forbidding gap to fulfill my destiny as you appear in Zion in glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray now. Pray with all your heart. In Jesus' name. Before we go, Lord, put the word in my heart, I will read it, because I believe the season that God wants to fulfill it. The strengthening from Isaiah chapter 35. Talking about the wilderness of the people, but I will start from verse 3. Say, strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees, say to them of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, for behold, your God will come with vengeance, even with your recompense, and he will come and save you. Now the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall what? Waters break out, the spirit that measure. And what? Streams, the bold anointing in the desert. The Bible says, not the lie is the hind let loose. Praise the Lord.